And we'll read verses 8 through 12. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 8 through 12. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. May the Lord add his abundant blessing to the reading of his precious truth. And let us pray before we meditate upon what we have just read. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you for this prayer meeting that we've had tonight to lift up prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings, to also in our prayer to hear from you, Lord, and that through hearing, by being open to you in our times of prayer, that as your word comes forth, that our minds may be renewed and that we might walk according to that new life that you have given us with a brand new heart and a brand new spirit. We thank you, Father, for your word and pray that it will come forth mightily. And I pray, Father, for me that nothing of my flesh will be a part of this message, but all of your word and all for your glory and the exaltation of your Son, Jesus Christ, who bled and died upon Calvary's tree, also for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the second question from a Puritan catechism asks, what rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify him? And the answer is the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify God and enjoy Him. Now, with Scripture proofs from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and 1 John 1 and verses 3 through 5, the answer clearly from those passages tell us that the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament speaks of the Bible. The 66 books written by over 40 different authors over a period of approximately 1,500 years, preserved as the very special revelation from God and the special revelation of God. And as man's chief end, from the first question of our catechism, it says man's chief end, which is his ultimate purpose, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, God has provided his written rule. That is his standard, and others might call it the canon. The canon of Scripture, of these 66 books, the standard, the rule, that through the apostles and the prophets, the foundation that they have laid with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Therefore, to deviate from this standard in which he is given, to stray from this direction given in the Holy Bible, is to fail to glorify God, and will also result in misery before God rather than the joy and blessing of God. And although we have these three scripture proofs in the catechism, I want us tonight to take a slightly different approach in looking at this marvelous truth. So I do encourage you this week that if you're using your catechism, and we still, if you don't have one, Puritan catechism, we have some over there that you can pick up and have for your family devotions. Look up the three scripture proofs and go over them prayerfully and meditate upon them this week. Meditate upon them and consider the impact for our Christian lives and witness. But tonight, let's look at, apart from the verses that were given and just our typical catechism that is often memorized by those of Reformed faith, what I want us to concentrate and explore on tonight is, one, first, the exalted word. And then, two, the edifying word. And number three, the embraced word. Because this is the rule, the standard in which we have the Bible. Let us look at the Bible by these three things, and then that will allow for the scripture proofs that we say this is the only rule we have so that we know how to enjoy God and glorify Him. Let's look at these perspectives, and it'll, I think, enrich our time in the scriptures that we're using to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. First, the exalted word. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 138 and verse 2, about the middle of your Bible. If you get to Job, you've gone too far. If you're in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, you haven't gone far enough. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Here is where we look at God's exalted word. Focusing primarily on the second part of that scripture, we can gain a bit of understanding of what kind of importance the Lord God places upon His word. In fact, I could say what kind of importance Jehovah God, Yahweh God, places upon His holy word. The prophet here, David, the psalmist, says of the Lord that His word is magnified even above His holy name. The name that was revealed unto Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, when Moses said, you're going to send me to the children of Israel? Who shall I say is sending me? And God says, from the burning bush, I am that I am. In Hebrew, Ahia Asher Ahia. Contracted, it's the letters in Hebrew, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh, or Yahweh. Sometimes translated Jehovah. And when you see Lord in uppercase, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the name of the Lord in Hebrew. Yahweh, Yahweh, the Lord. This special written revelation of God doesn't tell us everything that can be known of an infinite God, but it does tell us everything we need to know about Him. I don't know if I said that as correctly as I could. It doesn't tell us everything we can know about God, but it does tell us everything God wants us to know about Him. An illustration of that would be when I graduated from second class dive school, my instructors and my master divers taught me everything I knew about diving. But they didn't teach me all there was to know about diving, and they certainly didn't teach me all that they knew about diving by their experience and having dove all that time. The same thing is more so applied to God's holy word. He doesn't tell us everything that there is to know about God because God is infinite. And He certainly doesn't tell us all He knows about Himself because He is infinite and we are finite. Jesus Christ, the living Word, said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, according to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. God exalts His Word. It is an important thing. It is about Him, and everything that we need to know about God has been given in His Word and by His Spirit. As God's Word is the revelation of Himself to man, and as He is infinite and eternal, the value He places upon His Word is infinite and eternal. You know, how can we then look upon the Scriptures with anything less than an exalted view of the Scriptures? Because God exalts the Scriptures even above His holy name. His name, which expresses that He is eternal, I am that I am, not I was that I was, or I will be that I will be. He's continually self-sufficient and eternal, and that's revealed in the Scriptures. And even with that, His name, expressing who He is, He says His word is even magnified above His name. So that's how exalted a view it is. Next we have the edifying word. Turn with me to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, which is one of the scripture proofs for our question 2 and answer 2 of the Puritan Catechism. When I was a new Christian, I asked my pastor, where's 2 Timothy? He said, right after 1 Timothy. I said, I should have figured that out on my own. I was 26 years old. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Most of you have this scripture memorized, I know. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And we'll read verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, we could not merely say that this is the educational word from this verse, from verse 16. It would be nice to say that because it starts with an E, but I believe that the Lord placed upon my heart that it is an edifying word, not just educational. It's not merely to say that we have the word to instruct us, to give us knowledge and facts about God. It does more than that, especially from this passage. We understand that God's word edifies a Christian and builds up the Christian and strengthens the Christian, strengthens the saint in Christ, because all scripture first is God-breathed, where it says given by inspiration. The literal Greek meaning is God-breathed. And also it is profitable. Profitable means that it's beneficial, it's good for, it is useful. For first, the first thing, doctrine. It's good for doctrine. It's useful for doctrine. The truths that we believe concerning God, the truths we believe concerning God's creation, and the truths we believe concerning God's eternal plan for creation. So it's good for doctrine. The teachings concerning those things. Second, it's good, it's useful for, it's beneficial, it's profitable for reproof. By God's word, the Holy Spirit convicts the soul of sin, righteousness, and judgment, revealing areas in our lives where we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Third, from our text, it is profitable and beneficial. It's good for correction. That when we have erred, when we have sinned, that it shares with us how we may be restored by God's grace in right relation and fellowship with Him. And fourth, instruction in righteousness. It is profitable, it is useful for instruction in righteousness. That is, how we may, by God's grace and good pleasure, receive training and discipline through His Word so that we might seek to please Him, and that we might not fall into the sins that we are reproved from. That we may continue to grow. And that sounds redundant, though, but in Ephesians, Paul uses it's like to continue to grow. It's not just something that is in passing. It is an emphasis that we do. That we please God, seek His awesome and amazing truth as He has given His all in all for us. And finally, we have, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, the embraced word. And that's where we read from. We read that entire portion, verses 8 through 12. And we'll read that again. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, we have the embraced word. And this is the point that I would probably spend more time on and conclude with. In the embrace word, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Although the scripture verse may seem to be just slightly out of context with the topic at hand, we're looking at the rule that God has given us to enjoy Him and to glorify Him, God's Word. Well, why is this? Why did I use this verse? It's in this, and I want to read it again. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? I put a little emphasis there, as if Paul is saying, preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Preach the gospel. Present God's word. That I should be able to do this? A man who has been studying it, and when he comes by the revelation of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and then he realizes that the scriptures are all about him, about this God who became flesh and dwelt among us, He is just blown away. In fact, so much so that he's taken by it that he embraces the word with a love far beyond whatever he had as a Pharisee that memorized every jot and tittle of this word. It is incredible when I look at this verse and I'm just myself, I'm taken by what he is taken by. And when we read the word with that kind of embrace, that we love the word, I've been so changed that it's not just something that I'm learning about God. God himself is kind of ministering through his word to embrace me, to allow me to embrace him through his word. That is a spiritual truth that can only be revealed by the Holy Spirit. An amazing thing. And sadly, so many of us these days in a reaction because doctrine is so far taken away, you might take something like that and shy away from it because it almost sounds charismatic. But the people that preached grace 400 years ago had that kind of thing. When you read of the Puritans and the Reformers and these people that said, it isn't just a walking through what the Jesuits are teaching. This is a real living word. And when men like Martin Luther were bringing it forth unto us, that we could have God's revelation here, not just to have it exalted and put it on the coffee table and make sure there's no dust on it, which is good to do. Best way to keep it dusted is to open that thing up every time, every day. Or not just to edify us, to build us up and encourage us with hope for the future and instruction for the here and now. But more importantly, this embrace of this God, not only has God given his son, but it's as if the very dust of Jerusalem is coming off the pages because the streets that Jesus walked on are right here with us. Because of the very real, what Alexander McLaren calls the absent present Christ. That though he is exalted and seated at the right hand of God, he is with us right now. This news among the Gentiles. Paul, we know that in chapter 3 and verse 8 that Paul's talking about this gospel that is preached. He's talking about the scriptures because just a little few pages back, if you wanted to turn there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about the gospel there. Keep your place in Ephesians 3 and verse 8. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 1 through 4, he tells the Corinthian church, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So, chapter 3 and verse 8 of Ephesians, as he talks about the gospel that he is allowed to preach, he's speaking of the Scriptures, because here in 1 Corinthians it ties in as the same gospel, and it is according to the Scriptures. The gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians, as he reminds them in this letter, according to the Scriptures, and in Ephesians 3:8, just the language that Paul uses to express his insignificance as a human being. Less than the least of all the saints in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. In comparison to the exalted word that edifies, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The exalted word that edifies the unsearchable riches of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. And that he was granted the privilege to declare and proclaim and to preach and to teach and to testify these truths, given to the Apostle Paul, it gave the Apostle Paul the incredible love for the Scriptures, because not only were they about God, They not only came from God, but because God valued His Word and loved His Word, then with the Spirit of the living God dwelling in him, in the Apostle Paul, Paul values and loves God's Word too. Now, if we have a new and continually renewed mind through the reading of His Word, and a deeper relationship with Christ, we'll also have a new and continually renewed an intimate relationship with God's Word. It is a given. It has to happen. 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 5 speak of that if you love Him, then you love His commandments. And in one sense, yes, it's speaking of wanting to walk righteously, but in another sense, it's a broader context. It's wanting to love His, a desire to love His Word. The commandment, here's the commandment, Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. There's the commandment. It is about God and this is His will. And then we fall in love with that, just as the Apostle Paul did. Just as we do as believers in Christ. See, I ask you for some homework this week also. Read that second passage concerning God's Word, but really are we falling in love with God's Word? And here's the homework. The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Because as you know, if you've read Psalm 119, that it is the one psalm that is most significant, the psalmist declaring his immense love for God's Word. And here's just a few examples. I'm just going to read them to you if you wanted to jot down the verses so you'll know the specific ones that I pulled out. But the whole psalm is about an incredible, intimate, deep love for God's Word. In verses 47 to 48, it says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved." Verse 69 says, "I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart." Verse 70 says, "I delight in thy law." Verse 97 says, "Oh, how love I thy law." I like how that does it. Instead of, "Oh, how I love thy law," it's, "Oh, how love I thy law." It's as if by the time you get to verse 97 that you're so taken by the Word of God that your words get mixed up. And then you cry out like Isaiah, "Oh, woe is me, I am undone, I'm a man of unclean lips. I can't even pronounce the Word of God properly." Verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Verse 167, "My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly." And verse 174, "I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify Him? The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify God and enjoy Him. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, the holiness of Your Word, because You are holy, is so expressed through Your Word that every jot and tittle is so wonderful. That, as Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me." They testify of our Lord Jesus' holiness. And though we tremble at Your Word, though it is used for instruction and in training in righteousness and reproof and correction and doctrine, we pray, Father, that we might embrace Your Word and fall in love with You through Your Word and love Thy Word and magnify it and know its value beyond worth, above gold, yea, much fine gold. In Jesus' name we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Amen and amen.